True North, and we are just pleased to have everyone here. It's always a joy to gather together with our church family. And today, I want to start out with a passage from 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And that line is just one line of an extended song of thanks that King David wrote. It was a song that he appointed to be sung by the priests on the day that they placed the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord in a tent that they had built in Jerusalem. So this is near the beginning of King David's reign, and they brought the Ark, which was the chest that they had carried with them throughout the desert when God rescued them from Egypt. It was where God's presence was. They placed it in this tent and appointed the song of thanks to be sung. And this is just one of many songs and psalms written in the Bible expressing thanks to the Lord. And so today I want us to consider the impact that it can have on our lives to have an attitude of thankfulness. Excuse me, hang on. Losing my microphone. There we go. I want us to consider what an attitude of thankfulness can do for us. And something that if we're intentional about it, that we can build into our lives. And consider perhaps the reason that God calls us so often in his word to be thankful. So let's start with this. Consider the life that we live in this world. Life is hard. There are all kinds of challenges, all kinds of things that let us down, that disappoint us, that hurt us. There are all kinds of frustrations and heartaches that happen day after day after day in this world. There's no denying it. Life is hard. And those difficulties of life tend to create a negative outlook toward life. We have Murphy's Law that people point out to all the time that says anything that can go wrong will go wrong. It's an attitude that we carry with us through life. We expect things to fail. In fact, James expresses what this life can do to us in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let me just read that. James 4. James says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet. You cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." Now, James is pointing out a sinful attitude of seeking what we want. But where that comes from so often is a combination of two things that I really see. It's first what I just said, this world that we live in is a world that's full of hardships. This is a sinful and fallen and broken world. There is no denying the hardships that we have. We combine that with a view toward that world that we're not going to get what we need. That world is holding out on us, that things are going to fall, things are going to break, things are going to be taken away from us. We approach that world expecting things to always fail, and so we're grasping for what we want. And that leads to those quarrels that James talks about, the fighting among us. Really, that is what the root of sin is the battle for what we want in this world that does not give us what we want. We expect things to fail, as I said. We expect people to let us down. We expect to be disappointed day after day. We see limits to the goodness of what we can have in this life. And so we approach life saying, I need to get what I want, but I know I'm not going to get it. And so we fight. And it has a major effect on the way we live our lives. You can see it in our culture today. Everybody battling against one another for the things that they want. They want everyone to respect what they think and what they desire. They want to deserve, they feel like they deserve whatever they want. And it comes from that attitude of, I'm not getting all that I need. But this attitude leads to anxiety and depression and anger. It isolates us. It approaches life with a scarcity mentality that says, I'm just not going to get what I want. And that's the exact opposite of the kind of life that God wants for us. He wants us to have a life full of joy, a life full of fulfillment, of love and fellowship, a life full of courageous and bold action, a life, as I said, of abundance. Now, God knows the challenges of life. He doesn't put blinders on us and say, just ignore the problems. God knows there are problems here. He knows that this world is caught up and damaged by sin. But he also knows this important truth, that those who trust in him have something that this world alone cannot provide. And that is, we have hope because of God's presence. We have hope because God is with us. No matter what has happened to us as a result of this world, in this fallen world that we live in, no matter what might come again the next day, we have the presence of the Almighty, ever-present, full of love God with us. And he's not just with us watching things happen. He's with us providing for our needs. He's with us going before us and preparing things for us. He has a plan and a purpose for us. He knows the destination that he wants for us, and he's calling us to trust him with that destination. So God's presence doesn't mean that we won't face challenges. He doesn't promise life to be easy, but what he does promise is that he will see us through it. He will even make things better as we persevere with him through everything that the light at life puts before us. And this is why the Apostle Paul could declare things like what he declares in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. Here's what Paul writes. He says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So Paul knows the ups and downs of life. He knows harsh circumstances. And yet he can have contentment and even thankfulness because he knows he has his strength through the Lord. And then we also read the prophet Habakkuk, in verse 3, verses 17 through 18. Habakkuk declares, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. And why is he able to say that? Well, verse 19, he writes, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go onto the heights. He's able to give thanks in even the most dire circumstances because the Lord is his strength. These people know the true secret of strength and of joy, of contentment in life in any circumstance. And they knew that that secret was to recognize the strength of God and give him thanks continually. This is why the poorest of the poor person can live a content and happy life, full of joy, because they know the Lord is with them. Why the richest person in the world can be miserable because all they see is the troubles of life. Thankfulness teaches us to recognize God's presence. So God calls us, his people, over and over throughout his word to be thankful. It's an attitude that we have to choose. It's not going to just happen by chance. If we just go through life experiencing what comes before us, we're going to see disappointment. We're going to see problems. Those things show themselves readily. But we have to be intentional about seeking out those things that are blessings, the things to be thankful for. So we have to practice it and embrace it to counter the hardships of life. We have to seek for it as though it's a precious jewel. So God's desire and goal for us is to remind us over and over to keep our eyes on him. Don't take your eyes off of Christ and look around at the world and what you find there. Look at him and what he is providing and where he can lead you. Don't lose sight of his presence. And these are the things that we read about giving thanks in the Word. Just a couple of passages that I want to share with you today. First of all, from Colossians chapter 2. I'll slow down just a little bit. If I've been racing through all these passages, if you're following along, I'll give you a chance to open up to that. Colossians 2. Verses 6 and 7, Paul writes, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Part of God's will for us is to be overflowing with thankfulness day after day. And then we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Right spot. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just think about that for a moment. God's will for you in Christ Jesus is to be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. God wants us to find those things to be thankful for, to recognize that can be thankful because he is there with us in everything. He wants us to learn to live a life of thankfulness, not just be thankful every now and then when something good happens to us, but to seek it out constantly, to always know that God is with us, to always be thankful for him, to be thankful not just in the good times, but in every circumstance, and not be thankful just because of our ability to make good out of things, but because of God's ability, because he is there providing for you. So the more we practice this thankfulness, the more it becomes part of our life. It becomes natural for us to see the good. And so as I started out this message talking about the challenges of this world and how easy it is for us to develop a negative attitude, if we practice thankfulness, it will become more and more easy for us to see the good, to see past the brokenness of this world, to see past the dangers and the evils and the things that drag us down. We can see past the sinfulness all around us and see things that we can be thankful for because we see the glory of God working in and among us everywhere we go. We see the source of everlasting hope, a hope that does not disappoint, that will pick us up in every circumstance and give us a new chance of every day. We see Jesus who has overcome this world if we will practice thankfulness day after day and let it become part of our lives. Through Christ, we cast off worry and doubt. We can't get rid of shame and anger and resentment and all those things that present as we think about the negativity of the world. And we learn to live in courage and hope and joy and abundance and strength. That is where the life that Christ wants us to have comes from. So God's will for you in Christ Jesus is to live a life of thankfulness. Let's make that a practice in our lives. Let's seek out day after day those things that we can be thankful to God for. Let's declare today a day of thanksgiving. And decide for ourselves today, we're going to start now seeking out those things that we can be thankful for. And I want to ask you to do something before we leave here today. I'd like you to find at least 5 people in this park that you can go up to and tell them, I am thankful that God has put you in my life. Start practicing that thankfulness today before we go. You think we can do that? Let's give it a try. So let's pray and give thanks to God before we close out our worship. Let's praise him with one more song and give thanks today because God is good. Heavenly Father, today we do want to just give you thanks. We could not bear this life without you, Lord. You are the source of all hope for us. You are the source of our strength. You are the source of our joy. Help us all to keep our eyes fixed on you so that we may persevere through any challenge, Lord, that we can face each new day with hope, that we can be filled with joy, even in a sinful world, Lord. Lift us up day after day, Lord. Continue to walk with us. Show us your path for us and help us to see them, Lord. The thing that we need most is for our eyes to be opened to what you're already doing. And so open our eyes today, Lord, as we seek to give you thanks in everything. We praise you for all that you're doing here in and through us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.